you, Scott. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Please keep your Bibles open there at... Got to meet my friend Tim here for a little... We got the little secret recipe here. There we go. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Please keep your Bibles open there at 2 Peter in chapter 3. What if you know this song? Life was filled with guns and wars, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died. The days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. Very famous song, books written on that, movies made on that theme. But I wonder, friend, if how often you actually think about the Lord's return. How often do you think about heaven, hell, your future? Where are you going after this life? So that's what I want to encourage you to keep in mind as we go through 2 Peter 3 here this morning. We're going to be looking at trying to answer this question. What's going to happen? And if you are thinking about your future, you are thinking about the future for this world, what really is going to happen? Well, 2 Peter 3 is one of those chapters in the Bible that clearly spell out what exactly is going to happen. And I know it's a warm day out there, and it's like, Tom, how many points can you make? Well, we'll try to make 8 of them, but I will try to move us along as fast as we can. But I want to share with you from God's Word here 8 lessons about the Lord's return. The first thing I want you to see is that we always need reminding. You see that? You have your Bible there, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We always need reminding. 5 times in this little letter, Peter keeps repeating this word, remind, remember, remind. He did it in chapter 1. He did it, now he's doing it here in chapter 3. He wants to keep helping us to remember here. And it's the only New Testament book that keeps using that phrase over and over that many times. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, many times you think, now he's the apostle of the word, they're all apostles, but boy, if you really want to know the word, actually it's Peter. Believe it or not, Peter, he makes 8 references in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter to the word of God. That might be a good little study for you this afternoon or this week. Look for all the references that Peter makes about the scriptures. He is strong in the scriptures. And this passage here, chapter 3, is all about what the scriptures say about the Lord's return. And many times, it's the reminding that we need. Sometimes, we need more reminding than we need to be told. I do. I find that. I mean, over the years, as I look back and think about my life, my times with the Lord, rarely has He shared with me something very novel and brand new. Never heard that before. Honestly, oftentimes, many, many, many times, it's those things I learned when I was a boy as my mom read the scriptures to me, and when I was in Sunday school and youth group, those things that you and I have heard for a long, long time, He keeps reminding me of that over and over, and it just goes deeper and deeper. And the amazing thing about that, for me personally, is that it always seems like fresh bread. Though I'm not hearing something brand new, it's new to me, and it goes deeper. And that's what Peter's trying to do here. He's trying to encourage all of us, listen, pay attention here. I'm reminding you of some things that you know. I want to stir up your minds, your hearts, to put truth into practice. So, how often do you think about heaven? Did you think about the Lord's return last week at all? I mean, honestly, some of us have good memories, some of us have good forgetteries. You know, we tend to forget things and we need to be reminded again and again. And the Bible bends over backwards to help us renew our minds. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, our hearts, our minds, the spirit within us reminds and renews us of these truths. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. How does the Lord restore your soul? How does he restore your soul? By reminding you of the things of God, by delighting in the things of God. I came across this passage in Psalm 119 just this week. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. That is quite a statement, isn't it? I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That's what Peter's trying to do. He's trying to remind us, refresh our memories. This is very, very important. And as we think about the Lord, as we think about his ways, and are reminded, we find right quickly, right out of the starting gate, we meet a world of scoffers. Peter's reminding them, and he says, now here's the first thing you need to keep in mind here. You're going to face and hear a lot of nonsense. You're going to hear a lot of people going, yeah, 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 yeah. Kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, wah, 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 wah. They just say all kinds of stuff. Goofy stuff about the Lord, about the Lord's ways, and about the Lord's return. Psh, the Lord's return. Hello, Tom. Hello. Everything has been the same from the very, very beginning. There's never been any of this. What is this? You keep talking about the Lord's return. Where is it? Where is the Lord's return? And the scoffers will come. The scoffers will come into your life. You're going to hear them. You'll hear them on television. You meet them in real life. The scoffers are always going to be there. If you're going to take the Lord's return serious, if you're going to take the word of God serious, you're going to meet scoffers. They're going to yak, 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 and yada, 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 and all those things to help you think, am I nuts? Am I crazy? What's really going on here? And if you notice these scoffers, look very closely there, verse 3, that they do their scoffing following, notice this closely, their own sinful ways. See, when people live lives, when we live lives that are sinful and wrong, we feel guilty about that. So we cover it up by just scoffing at, we think, you know, well, you know, those Christians and the truth, we scoff at that. We're following our own sinful ways. And we feel very miserable about all of it. So we start scoffing at things. See, the scriptures tell us that those who don't know the Lord, they're blind, spiritually blind, deaf, paralyzed, dead. In fact, there's two problems here with an unbeliever, a scoffer. They will not respond. And secondly, they cannot respond. Unless the Lord does a work in them in giving them eyes and ears and heart, they will never respond. So you think outwardly, well, they just don't believe. They're just hard-hearted. That is very true. But also they are incapable. All they can do is scoff. That's all they can do is scoff. And that gets old, doesn't it? There's maybe people in your life that's kind of wearing you out. Hard to hear the scoffing. Is there a solution to that? Absolutely there is. Chapter 1, verse 19, there's a sure word from God. Chapter 1, verse 21, it was inspired by the Spirit of God speaking through the apostles. And it's full of gracious promises, this word. Chapter 1, verse 4. And those promises are full of telling us who we are in Christ and all the gracious things he's given us that we might live a life of godliness. Scoffers will come. But in light of the scoffing, we have solid reasons to believe. That's the third thing. Solid reasons to believe. You see, we can look forward because we take a long look backward. See what Peter says there in verses 5 and 6? We can look to the future because we've actually looking to the past. Twice there, he talks about the Word of God, by the Word of God. By the Word of God, says Peter, the Lord created the universe, and he even deluged this earth, with a flood. It happened by the Word of God. He's already brought judgment to this planet. And we know that through the Word of God. The certainty of it. Genesis in chapter 6, the Lord said to Noah, the word came to Noah, I will destroy them. And so then chapter 3, verse 6, by the same word that came to Noah, the same word of God that predicted judgment upon those who don't want anything to do with him, that same word is coming into the future. Judgment is coming. See, the Lord's not a flip-flopper. We meet flip-floppers all the time, don't we? They hold this position, then, oh, why, my goodness, they changed already. The Lord has never changed his ways. He doesn't flip-flop. He's this way in the book of Exodus or the book of Genesis. Oh, you find him very different over here. It's the same Lord. But the book of Malachi, the Lord says about himself, I don't change. My nature has always been the same and always will be the same. It's not like I used to believe that. And so I hope what you're seeing here early on in this message here is that you have such a good reason to hold to the Scriptures when it comes to the return of the Lord. I was thinking about the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But also equally, what a friend we have in our Bible. The Bible you hold before you is the Word of the living God, and you can hold on to that in regard to what's coming down the pike. Our fathers, our forefathers, Swedish fathers, Vår står det skrivet. Where does it stand written? And we'll be talking about that a lot more as we're coming up to our 150th anniversary in October. They held to the Scriptures, the first coming, the second coming of Christ. And they were changed and transformed by that, and they brought that to Iowa, and it penetrated this great state. Swedish people coming from that great country of Sweden, bringing the gospel to this place because they believe the Scriptures can change people's lives. Powerful. Powerful. But this day, that scoffers scoff about, and that we have a reason to hold to, this day will come as a surprise. Big, big surprise. Look at that in verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. A thief. Have you ever been robbed? So if you've ever been robbed, did you get the phone call the night before from the guy? Hey, I'm coming over. In fact, what's a good time for you? Because I want to rob your place. I want to set up an appointment. No, they come like a thief in the night, don't they? Come like a thief in the night. It's going to come as a surprise. A surprise. But if you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's a surprise, all right, but not to the believer. This is no surprise. We're talking about it today. This is no shock. So when the day of the Lord comes, you're going to say, of course, I've been believing this for a long, long time. The day of the Lord will not come as a thief and a surprise to those who are his children, but it's going to come to a major surprise to the rest of the world. They will be absolutely, I mean literally, blown out of the water. It will just absolutely shock them. Jesus told the story of the rich fool. Kind of reminds me of a rich dirt farmer from Iowa. The guy had, he just had an incredible farm. And he had so much crop, he didn't know what to do. You know, so he contacted Mike Krauthammel to build him a bigger barn, you know, and he's going to, let's just build it bigger, bigger and better, right? They said, oh, that's great. Now we just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said nothing was wrong with that. It was, he was not rich toward God. He had it all. He had absolutely everything. But what he didn't know, and it came as a surprise, is he's going to have a cardiac arrest. He's going to go into eternity. And he went into eternity without his corn, without his beans, without his money, without any of it. Completely bankrupt. It came as a complete surprise. And so when we build up treasure, it can either be for ourselves, our stuff, or you invest in other people, you invest into the future. That's what we did with our VBS team last week. I was so encouraged by our VBS team, how they came alongside those kids and just poured into them, blessed them. Tremendous. Then we have cross-cultural work. Doug Gould taking off for Egypt. We have opportunities just this week where people will be right upon our property. We have a chance just to befriend them, as Pastor Tim shared with us, just asking questions about their family, getting to know them. It's reaching out. That's investment. But this, friends, will be a major, I cannot emphasize that enough, how this will be a complete, total surprise. It's like, you know, you think of all that we see and hear on television, all these folks that put no time at all into the things of eternity. It's going to be absolutely devastating for them. Which brings us to the fifth thing here, and that is, it's complete destruction. I don't know if I've read anywhere how completely devastating this is. Chapter 3, Peter just keeps rolling over and over and over how much he's talking about this devastation that's coming. One of the words that he uses here is the word in the ESV, dissolve. You find it three times, verse 7, verse 10, verse 12, verse 11. It's like a melting. There's fire in verse 7. There's a roar, a loud, loud noise in verse 10. Heavenly bodies burned up, dissolved. Verse 12, the heavens set on fire and dissolved. It's like, what? This is what Peter says. He's reminding all of us, take heed. This is what the word of the Lord is saying. I am coming back. It's going to be cataclysmic, universal. The word global, that's our in the earth. We're talking the heavenly bodies. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 12 says, our God is a consuming fire. This isn't meant to scare you. This is not meant to do that. It's meant to put the fear of the Lord in my heart and in yours. Walking in the holy fear of the Lord. So you want to make sure that the God that's in your mind and your thoughts, when you think about God, you want to make sure you got the right thoughts. Because if the God that you worship doesn't include, he's coming back, and he's coming back with judgment upon those who are ungodly, verse 7. We don't have the whole story. We don't have the whole story. Which leads us to number 6 here. This judgment is for the ungodly. Notice it's judgment, verse 7, perishing, verse 9, And the ESV has an interesting expression, verse 10, the works will be exposed. Some of them say burned up, but others, other translate, it's, it looks like it could mean either burned up or actually being exposed. And so all every person's lives, the Lord's going to say, well, you know, who are you, God, to judge me? So, hello, and everything will be exposed. Everything laid bare. No hiding. No hiding. Now, most people know they're sinners. But the biggest sin is to ignore Jesus. John chapter 16. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they do not believe in me. It's one thing to violate the Lord, but it's another thing to violate the gospel that could save us. And that's what ungodly people do. It's la, 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 la. Anything that has to do with the Lord and the gospel and his ways, don't want anything to do with it. And our actions have consequences. Our actions have consequences. And that's why the ungodly are going to receive what they're going to receive. We can't do things in a corner. People think they can do things and hide from God. But there's such a beautiful solution. From Genesis to Revelation. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us have gone to our own way. Here's the good news. The Lord laid on Messiah Jesus the iniquity of us all. And that is the only way to escape the judgment of God. The only way. That is the only way. And we, friends, will have a new home. A new home. I love the NIV 1984 says we will that we're waiting for a new heaven and a new earth, verse 13. The home of righteousness. The home of righteousness. See, earth is not the home of righteousness. Right now, is it? I mean, we're looking for it. We'd love to see a little more righteousness. But this righteousness doesn't find a home here. And secular people are trying hard to bring about justice. You know, justice at the border, justice on the inside, justice around the globe. We want peace. We want justice. People are trying really, really hard. And even the church, we in the church, we want to seek racial reconciliation. That is an important theme to make sure that, you know, we have nothing between ourselves and the Lord and nothing between anybody. Skin color has absolutely nothing to do with loving and being a blessing to all humanity. And yet we do have problems with racism. But ultimately, the home of righteousness is the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation. In fact, I traced this little word, righteousness. We found it several times here in 1 and 2 Peter. And how it begins, if you remember one of our first messages, we have this equal faith with everyone. And how do we have that? By the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As a gift of righteousness, you stand before a holy God, completely clean and righteous because of the record of Jesus' obedience to the Father. That's actually given to you. But Peter moves on. He says that he bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So not only is righteousness a gift, but righteousness is a way of life. And that's what we're talking about, is trying to live that out in a world that's really going down the tubes. But righteousness is also a home. Righteousness is a home. And there's where the good news is. The ungodly, verse 7, are going to be judged. But those who know Jesus, love him, have his righteousness, are going to experience a new heaven and a new earth, the new creation. It's what Brother Derek Stringer was sharing with us, Revelation 21 and 22. That's where this is all going. And Peter echoes all of that. So in light of all that, friends, Isn't that great to think about these great doctrinal truths about the second coming? Well, Peter, I love Peter, practical guy. He said, yeah, well, what sort of people are you? What kind of people ought we be, verse 11? You see that? Great question. If this is all true, then what sort of people ought we to be? You know, you could say that about every single doctrine. And I love Bible doctrine. It's vital that we know Bible doctrine, that we're immersed in Bible doctrine. But the bottom line of every Bible doctrine is, okay, now how has that affected your life? Oh, I believe in predestination election. Yeah, and I do too. And I believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ. Absolutely, I'm totally on board with you. And I believe the doctrine's right across the board. But what kind of people has that made you into? Well, Peter lists two things here. The first one is godliness. That's another one of Peter's favorite words. We meet godliness all along. You remember in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, we've been given everything for godliness. Everything we need is found in the Lord. And verse 5, he said, now you need to add to your life godliness. But the day of the Lord will and should inspire me and you to live a godly life. Did the second coming of Christ is not meant to lead us to figure out, okay, now how does Saddam Hussein fit into all of this? And who really is the Antichrist and all that stuff? And we can be cognitively, our brains filled with right ideas about eschatology, the Lord's return, and we're not really fun to live with. Not a very nice person. What sort of person ought you to be? Knowing Jesus is coming back is an incentive to Tom Mason that I'm going to live and pursue godliness and holiness. But it doesn't just stop there. I don't know if you've seen this before, but the NIV says not only do we need to live godly lives, but we need to live in such a way that we speed his coming. Speed his coming. Absolutely. We need to be OCD about evangelism and discipleship. We're all about investing our money, our talent, our time, everything in leading people to Christ and helping them grow. That's what's behind, oh, isn't that sweet what they did? What's behind all of this is helping boys and girls meet the Lord Jesus Christ, have a relationship with him, so that when they meet him in the future, they can enter into that home of righteousness. This is exactly why Doug Gould is going overseas. That's exactly why I go to Bulgaria. And many of you have taken trips all over the place. So it's wonderful. It's why we had the Cyphers here just recently. They have a heart for Turkey. You know how many people they meet in Turkey who are believers? The percentage is so small, it's hardly even countable. So here we are. We're investing our prayers and our dollars in a family that wants to reach into a very dark place. I say praise God. I say we all say praise God. That's what we need to be absolutely all about. There's a little verse tucked away, and I think it's one of the most forgotten verses in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. I don't have it on the screen to look up. You're taking notes. Matthew 24, verse 14. I remember sitting on my deck some years ago, and I was talking to a guy from Florida, a friend of my parents, actually. He loved talking about the end times. He loved talking about the end times. So I brought this little verse into the mix. He kind of looked at me like, what? This little verse says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all ethnic groups. And then the end will come. He thought it was all about making sure he had the right charts. He had it all figured out. He had it A, B, C. He had it all figured out. When the real truth is, his neighbor is lost, and we need to invest ourselves in the law. This gospel shall be preached to the whole world, every ethnic group, and there's 200 of them in India. Then the end will come. Speed its coming. speed it's coming. What sort of person are you? What sort of person am I? By life, I'm moved by the Lord's return in such a way that it moves me to greater holiness and godliness. I'm putting away stuff that's just no good for me, and I'm moving out. I'm prayerfully, I'm investing financially, prayerfully. I want to see people come to know Christ and grow in Him. That's the kind of people that we're called to be by the Word of God. Is that your story? Is that mine? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for all that goes on here at First Free. All that goes on. I think about all those children last week, given Bibles, clearly taught the gospel. I pray for them. Pray that the seed will grow. I pray for each one of us here this morning. Others who may be listening by radio or maybe later on online. That we would take a look at our own hearts and say, Lord, where am I at? Do I believe in your return? Am I ready for your return? Am I ready to enter the home of righteousness because of what you've done? Lord, I pray that would move us to greater godliness, but it would move us to evangelistic action. We would love and reach out to the lost. Will you please do that in every person's heart? And friend, if you've been listening today and you're not quite sure you even know where you're at with the Lord, it is so simple. It honestly is recognizing who you are and what you've done. That we have all sinned against the Lord, and He gave His own Son to die on the cross for our sins. We deserve to be there. He died in our place. As we open our life to Him, He comes in and cleanses us, forgives us, confesses our sins. He washes us clean. We'd love to be able to help you with that. But you can do that right where you're seated. You can say, Jesus, I admit I have failed morally, spiritually. I failed. I need your forgiveness. I want your forgiveness. I am so thirsty for your forgiveness. And I read here in your word that you, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. Lord, would you meet that person, help them to open their heart and life to you and walk with you. Friend, if we can help you in any way in your spiritual walk, your journey, we'd love to be able to do that. Father, work these things in all of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.